But I find it no greater honor or joy or privilege to be sharing God's word. You know, as we were talking about our loved ones or the loss, can there be anything sadder? Every time when I hear about someone that died or passed away, and I know they weren't saved, oh my God, even if I only knew who they were, such a burden, such a pain when you know it's over. You know, we're terrified of a lot of people that aren't saved. They're terrified of COVID, and it's serious. But the truth about the matter is, we can't die. No one dies. You go from this place to heaven or to hell. I remember once a friend, we were at a funeral, and my daughter was about 6 or 7, and she says, "Daddy, did they go up or did they go down?" What a privilege it is to be God's children, saved, and especially now. Our country and our church has never been in such a mess as now. And we should rush to church every time these doors are open, if we can. Praise God. Like I said this morning, I usually don't give titles to a message, but this morning I've entitled this, "There's a Price to Pay." And there's a price to pay. It's going to be, Paul will be pretty much the biggest part of the message. We'll be speaking about him and sharing on his life. Remember, I think I was around 15, and there's a price to pay. I think I was around 15 and I was working in the summer at this Catholic rectory, doing some painting, and I got to kind of know the priest a little bit. And we were standing outside one day and he says, kind of out of nowhere, he says, "You know, you get nothing for nothing and very little for a penny." And I, for somehow, I remember that all these years. There's a price to pay. We are sitting here today because there was a price that was paid. And I hope before this sermon, this message is over, that we would all embrace and pay the price that God wants us to pay. There's a price to pay. Can you imagine? I mean, the world's crazy as it is, as someone said. But how crazy can it be? In the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet sounds, and you are left behind. And you know what's going to happen. You know it's over. You know you missed it. Think of how it must have been for Noah when he's building the ark in the middle of nowhere. It was really funny. Laughed at. People probably walked by it day in and day out saying, "What in the world is this nutcase doing?" But when the rain started falling and become up to their ankles, then up to the waist, then up to their heads. I wonder how many were swimming around that ark. "Let us in! Let us in!" There's a price to pay. We should all be willing to pay it. It's like I think of sometimes if you were in a situation where a little child, you saved the child. For whatever reason, maybe they were walking across the street there, and you see them, you went running out there and grabbed them. And just in the nick of time, the car missed them. Do you know those parents are going to be your best friends the rest of your life? They will give you anything you want because they recognize what you did for them. When we think about what Christ has done for us, God, we can't even imagine God, the one that hung the stars in the skies like lights on a Christmas tree. The one that made the oceans and this earth. And it's a drop in the, it's like a drop of sand, it's like a grain of sand in the ocean compared to the universe that he created. We think it looks so big, but it's nothing in God's eyes. That's the God we serve. And he, out of love, and because he was willing to pay the price, became a man and hung on a tree and poured out his blood and bought you and me and all of mankind. He paid the price. When we think of all that God has done for us, who are we to think that he's asking too much? He says we're to be a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice, which is a reasonable service. As I said, if your child was saved by some man or some woman, you would be at their house every day thanking them. Anything you need, let me know. Whatever I can do, I'll do it. Out of gratitude. How much more has God done for us? We need to pay the price. I'm going to start in Second Timothy, I'm sorry. Paul, I think David's my favorite Bible character. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. Sometimes I don't know if we should look at him as a Bible character. He was a real person. But there's no one like Paul. Paul wrote at least 14 books of this Bible. He traveled extensively. Paul, he was a PhD. Probably 10 times over if he wanted to be. And he gave it all up. He had prestige. He was honored. When Christ came into his life on the Damascus Road, you know, I think he could have been like a lot of us. He could say, how, you know, because that's usually what we do. We don't want to pay the price because it usually costs, when it costs us something, we don't want to pay it unless it's just a little. But as the Catholic priest said, you can't get much for just a little, for a penny. You can't get much for just a little bit of effort. Paul could have said, you know, I mean, there's been other people that we've seen all kinds of miracles and they walked away from God. Paul could have very easily said, I'm not willing to give all this up. I got the good life here. It's going to cost me something if I start following Christ. And he's already told me how I gotta suffer, what I have to pay. But because of Paul, we stand here today reading most of this New Testament. We stand here today encouraged by his love for Jesus Christ. And God wants to bring us to that same place that we're willing to pay the price. There's a price to pay. And he's looking for people that will pay it. So let's go. I'm going to go into 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Let me go back once here. Let's read about a little thing about Paul before I get started, the background of Paul. Keep in mind, the 2 Timothy is his last letter before he's a martyr. He's martyred. This is Paul's last letter. At the time of the writing, the Emperor Nero was attempting to stop the spread of the Christian faith in Rome by severely persecuting believers. That didn't work out. Paul was again the emperor's prisoner in Rome. He was suffering deprivation as a common criminal, deserted by most of his friends, and aware that his ministry was over and his death near. And now he's writing to Timothy. This letter is to us too. In chapter 4, verse 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." But watch, Paul's saying, but watch in prison, he's writing, but watch in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered at the time of my departure, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I have fought a good fight. I've ran the race. I'm afraid that most of us don't even realize that we're in a fight. Most of the church is far from running a race. It's more like, it's not even a walk. It's more like a sitting on TV and eating popcorn kind of race. As was shared about our nation, the only hope for this country is the church. There is no hope whatsoever. Zero hope. We've already seen a government that has betrayed us. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. Even if someone knows they're right, it doesn't matter. Wickedness has gripped this country like I don't know what. There has never been a time in history that we're facing right now. And in spite of what we see and what we believe, the church is able to pull it out of it. The living God is not limited. He can do anything and everything that he wants to do. And we're going to look at Paul's life and see what he did in Paul's life and how he brought him to this place. We look at what's going around sometimes. I don't want to get too caught up in the... We shouldn't get too frustrated about it. What really's happened, the bus is getting loaded. The driver said, okay, I'm about ready to go get them. You know, we got to look at this differently. The enemy's like, oh my, look at what's going on. I was kind of like, yeah, that's getting bad. But the truth about the matter is, the angels are polishing the trumpet. And he's just about ready to come back and get us. And he already told us how it was going to be before he came back. We're living it right now. I told people 45 years ago, I felt like that God put it on my heart that I would be alive when Jesus Christ came back. And I can remember 45 years, like, yeah, you tell people that in church. Yeah. Because at that time, they thought at least 200 years, you know, well, you're just a young Christian, you know, you probably don't understand it. It could be hundreds of years before God comes back. You don't understand, you know, there's a lot of, we don't know. And you know, some of those denominations have come up with series talking about the end times now. Because they believe that his soon return is just around the corner. And you know, even though God told me 40, and I don't care, you know, this is me. I'm We all know God doesn't know, we don't know the hour. We always hear, oh, you know, no one knows the hour. No, we don't. But he sure told us some signs to be looking for. And we're knee high in them right now. That's why it's so important that we pay the price. We're the only hope. We're the only help. We're the only thing that this dying world can be touched by. It's the church of Jesus Christ coming alive and turning back to God with all our heart. Someone says told me the other day about Chronicles 7:14. Does that mean the whole church has to do that? No, because the whole church will never do that. It's pathetic how many people come out on a prayer night. It's pathetic. And we're gonna see the whole church cry out to God for our nation. Big churches, little churches, people don't come out and pray no more. Because they're not willing to pay the price. Their favorite TV shows up. They'll have to give it up. The boys are coming over to play cards. I can't miss it. You know, Sunday night's the only night we got. Thank God Paul didn't say that. Thank God Paul didn't say, I got better things to do. I laid my life down. I'm not going to endure that. But if he wouldn't have endured it, can you imagine? 14 books, churches planted all over the place by one man filled with the power and Holy Spirit of the living God. That says, he had to come to a place that says, I'll pay the price. I'm going to do what Christ asked me to do. And God is asking us the same thing. There's a price to pay. Are we going to pay it? Nehemiah, when he asked what was going on back in Jerusalem, and they told him how bad it was. It's awful. It's awful, Nehemiah. The glory's gone. The walls are broken down. God's people are scattered. The enemy comes whenever he wants to. He didn't say that's awful. That's terrible. I mean, after all, I'm the cupbearer. I'm doing, you know, what can I do? I'm living a good life. For 4 months, he prayed and fasted. He was heartbroken. It's a picture of the church. We should be heartbroken what we see. We should be heartbroken. We hear of all the young kids, young adults just pass through these doors and every other door throughout this land that no longer come to church. Filled by every lie the enemy can feed them to keep them from God. Telling them there isn't even a God. Telling them that they're a little boy and I want to be a little girl. It's okay. That's who we're turning them over to. Do we realize how bad things really are? Someone said the church really doesn't know how bad it really is. The other night I just watched the show and who had ever thought the day would come you can't even watch commercials? Watching a show, I think it might have been Seal 7 or something. I do like that show. But anyhow, all of a sudden a commercial comes on. I won't go into all that was said, But before then, you got two men kissing each other. They're shoving that down our throats. Friends, what someone does, I can't help it. Someone wants to sin. If you're going to sin, that's between you. But don't shove it down my throat. I don't plaster on the front of the TV set, be, you know, come to Christ or go to hell. You don't see me doing something like that. You don't see me trying to slander people or shaming people to come to Christ. We don't, in gentleness, we try to reach people. The world is shoving everything down our throat. And it seems like the church is just kind of set back and taking it. We are so far off track. If Paul was here today, we probably wouldn't want to hear what he has to say. There's a price to pay. May God bring us all to that place where we'll pay it. Where we'll pay it. The reason Paul was telling Timothy how important it was to preach the word. Could you believe 45 years ago, I never believed there'd come a day that Christians would no longer listen to the word of God, would excuse it away. Won't even listen to it. I shouldn't be surprised. It's right here. How many Christians that I've met, and if it's anybody that's listened to me or whatever, it's not you. It's someone else. How many Christians have I heard over the years, last 5 years? Seems like the last 5 years have been crazy. I know it's wrong. I know I shouldn't be doing that. I know it's a sin. But, and you know what the sad thing is? But the Word of God says you're going to go to hell for it. We would never tell them that. But I tell you one thing, if we're standing next to their coffin and we're looking at their face and we're thinking, why didn't they pay the price a few years here on this earth is worth eternity? I mean, really? Look at all the people that in the Bible that gave up everything to serve Christ, to serve God. Moses had it all. We could just go on and on. Anyone and everyone that was something gave it up, gave something up to serve God. And God has got to wake the church up and wake us up and wake me up. As I said this morning, I got to get off the pot. I got to begin to cry out to God. I got to be like Nehemiah. I got to be heartbroken when I look around and see what's happening. To see what the world is pushing to our children along. It's unbelievable. Maybe if we seen, I don't want to be gross, but maybe if we seen a live abortion going on this back screen right here, and we see how horrible it really is, maybe we think differently. Maybe we would pray. Maybe we would start crying out for this country. I was getting my taxes in K Street, and I forgot there was a Planned Parenthood thing back behind there. And I remember walking in there. Barbara Winfrey's. This young lady looked like she might have been 20. Sitting about 3 or 4 steps up. I just sensed in my spirit something was wrong. I said, is there anything I can do for you? She looked so hurt. Beautiful young lady. Doesn't matter if she was beautiful or not. She was a beautiful young lady. I said, is there anything I could do to something wrong? She said, I just had a procedure. I just had a procedure. I wasn't even thinking. And then it kind of clicked. She just had an abortion. And she's sitting on the steps, waiting for someone to pick her up and take her home. That's what it's come to. Or maybe if we've seen a picture or a film of a little girl being turned into a boy, or a little boy being turned into a girl, maybe we would say, I gotta pay the price. I gotta get a hold of God. I gotta be a part of the solution. I've gotta see God be God once more. We think we get sick. How do you think God must feel? How do you think God must feel? Man has become so wicked, so lost. And in spite of all those things, he still wants to save. There's not one person who doesn't want to deliver. Paul is one of those men. In Acts chapter 9, we read on Paul, his conversion. Chapter 9, starting at verse 1. This is Saul. We just have Saul before Paul. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to go to Damascus to the synagogues, that he found any of them in the way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? As I was sharing this morning, if we are going to pay the price, we all have got to come to the place, Lord, Lord, what will you have me to do? I'm not going to walk by and complain. I'm not going to criticize. I'm not going to be heartbroken. I want to do something. Lord, what will you have me to do? Lord, what will you have us to do? We have got to come to that place. That's where Paul started paying the price. He started paying the price when he says, Lord, what would you have me to do? Because there was such an impact on his life. Jesus Christ was there. He was talking to the living Son of God. The power of God was so real. The brightness blinded him. Those around him couldn't even believe what happened. Midday, and he can't even see because of brightness of what took. Jesus Christ showed up. And then the next thing you know, we find out 3 days later, sends Ananias to a street called Straight, and he finds him praying. And here's probably the key. Then he was baptized. Baptism, I thought, when I looked at this, I realized how important baptism is. Then he was baptized. And then he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he said, I think I've got a calling on my life. I think I'm going to go off to Bible school. I'll be all set. I can help God. No, it says almost immediately, within just a very short period of time, he was out telling people, this is the Christ. Trust me, this is the Christ. God took a murderer, a church hater, a man that could care less about women or children, men or women, and made him the greatest apostle that ever lived, the greatest Christian that ever walked. And how did it happen? Because he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And then God filled him with the power of his Holy Spirit. And we read a lot of the things because of, out of this inspiration of God, that how Paul was used. Think about it. I was thinking, you know, sometimes we give up on people. Well, you know, he could probably come to Christ. I mean, really? I mean, come on. Here's a murderer. They say that probably the beginning of Paul's, if this is true or not, the beginning of Paul's salvation is when Stephen was stoned. And Stephen prayed, Lord, Father, don't hold this to their account. Forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And Paul was there. Paul was probably there when they crucified Christ. Paul probably heard teachings by Christ. Paul was quite the man in the Sanhedrin circle. But once Christ got a hold of him, that must have been, can you imagine? That's almost like somebody being a mob boss and next week he's selling Electrolux vacuum cleaners. It's almost that drastic. They wouldn't even come around, and that can't, there's no way. How could that happen? The same way that God wants to work in our lives. If we will let God move, if we will respond to his calling, he's called all of us. We're all, did you remember when it says we're all kings and priests? All of us. All kings and priests. Well, I don't have, you know, well, I think we, don't we all say that? Don't we all just wish somebody else would carry the heavy load? I mean, really? It's in our nature. Oh, have, you know, mom told me to wash dishes, but, you know, you probably should wash dishes. Whatever it is. Mom told me to clean up the room. Well, I think you should clean up the room. We always want to push it off on someone else. But we're living in the time. We're living in that. We have one chance. We have one chance. And I think if the Church of Jesus Christ knew how little time we have left, I believe it with all my heart. I believe the time is so near. And I think a lot of other people believe that. And I think most of the church don't even care. That's the sad thing. That's why Paul says, listen, Timothy, I'm getting ready to be killed. And I want you to do everything in your power to reach the church. Because they're going to get so far from God that they won't even listen anymore. I mean, you think the world is bad? You think the country's bad? It's nothing compared to the condition of the church. If the Church of Jesus Christ quits following God, there's nothing left. Nothing. All hope for the church is gone. All hope for the nation's gone. All hope for our family's gone. We've kicked the can down the road too long. God is getting us ready. God is calling a people. Is everyone going to respond? No, they never did. When the greatest apostle that ever lived was teaching and preaching and traveling and doing everything under the sun, he still had people walk away from him. After his ministry, they still walked away from him. There was another, there was someone else like that. Wasn't Jesus Christ like that? Hosanna, Hosanna! Crucify him, crucify him. Now I'm going to turn over to 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to probably, this will be the last probably I'll share of this as far as scriptures. 2 Corinthians 11. We want to look at Paul's life, the price he paid, and he did it with all joy. I mean, think about it. Wouldn't it be, could you imagine just sitting somewhere, say, well, how's things going, Warren? Going pretty good. And I feel like I got one more message left. But you know, they're going to come Friday, they're going to kill me. But I'm telling you, I'm going to be out of time. But can I tell you something? He's telling Timothy. Timothy? We don't even know how he said this. We read this and it says, Timothy, now, you know, in the last days. But I can see Paul in prison. A real prison. Not with air conditioner and TVs. A prison where he used to let his food down in a bowl. A prison with rats. Stinking, dirty, filthy prison. That's where he was at. And if we said, Paul, would you do it over again? He said, in a heartbeat. I know he would. In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. I wish I could have paid more. I wish he would have used me more. The power of God was so real in his life. You know that same power. You know, we miss the truth. I'm so sick sometimes. People that I believe with all my heart that God can turn this country around. But it's only going to happen with the church. I'm so sick of hearing people say, well, you know, Chronicles 7:14 says, and you'll never see them in a prayer meeting. You never half the time see me in church. And if they do pray, they'll pray for 3 minutes and leave. I believe with all my heart when God gets a hold of his people, and he is again, things will change. Let's look at Paul in review here. 2 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 22. And the only reason Paul is telling us this is because he's defending who he is. He's defending his message and his doctrine and all that he's done. He's got to defend it to the people of God. False apostles coming in, false preachers and teachers. Sort of like it is nowadays. You know who's been the biggest enemy of the church? I could be like Paul right now. Would you just bear with me for a few minutes? I could be like Paul. You know who the biggest enemy the church has been? You won't believe it. Preachers! Preachers! We have seen a word church movement in the last 60 years destroy more Christians and more doctrines. They've destroyed every doctrinal belief that God has written in his word. They have preached a message that men and women love to hear. We love to have the flesh. Just take care of my flesh. Oh, come on, brother. Throw another 100 in there. God, plant another. Make me more. Make me richer. Make me richer. And you'll be rich too. We love it. Oh, I'm going. The pastor said I could be rich. Oh, I wish I had another 100. I mean, that's how crazy it is, right? I've heard of stuff like, I've seen stuff. That doctrine has, you would think like, okay, well, it's just a certain group. No, it isn't. It's crept into the church of God. It's crept into the assemblies of God. It's crept into the Southern Baptist. We all somehow think that if a Christian suffers, they made us think if a Christian suffers, we're just not in the right standing. That if we don't have the finest car and the biggest house, that somehow God's blessing is not upon us. That is about as far from the truth as the truth can be. And you know something? Truth being told, a lot of these pastors and church, and it doesn't matter. We're not picking on any particular pastor. The whole thing is just, he already told us, it's doctrines from demons. The thing of it is, they wouldn't want Paul coming into a church. They wouldn't even let him preach. Well, you know, Paul, we just want positive thinking. We just want good vibes. Man, you know, what is this dying to self stuff? What is sacrificing our life stuff? We want to take, get. We want this flesh to just be, we want anything and everything we can get. But that's sort of human nature. Nobody wants to sacrifice. Nobody wants pain. Do you think Jesus Christ died on the cross? It was pleasurable? Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. He paid the price. I hope I'm not overemphasizing this. I guess I'm just trying to let us all see the importance. I'm not trying. I believe the Lord is trying to show us the importance. We got to get it right. Either Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, or he isn't. He was Paul's Lord and his Savior. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, when the Holy Spirit of God awakens you, if you walk away the same, there's something drastically wrong. As I was sharing this morning, if you've come to Christ, the Bible says, whoever calls on his name shall be saved. If you can't recall, I mean, I hear people say, well, I asked him in my heart and you know, he's my Lord, but I can't even remember, there wasn't really a whole lot that happened. It wasn't a big deal. Can I tell you something? If Jesus Christ came into your heart and the Holy Spirit of God has filled you, you can't help but talk about Jesus. You have to, because you have become a new creation. God, we hate to say that, God is dwelling in us. Why all of a sudden we are concerned about the loss? Why all of a sudden things start to hurt our hearts? Because God in us. God in us.
Amen.
Making us feel that way. And if you're a Christian, I don't know. I hope not, but it happens. If you say, Warren, I asked Christ in my life, and I never thought anything happened, I want to tell you something much, much more. Much, much more. If you and I are not filled to overflowing, fire baptized in this hour, the church will not make it. Paul was filled with the power of the living God. And let me get through this and I'll stop here. A quick review of his life. After having explaining to the other people why, it's almost like if these guys are such great apostles and they know so much more than I do, and they're such better speakers, they have a better gospel. I haven't seen any of them floating in the water with me. I haven't seen any of them tied up next to me getting beaten. They just do a lot of talking. It seems like they're all about money and all about keeping their hides safe. But me, to spread the gospel, he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes. 39 stripes, save one. You know, we say that real quickly. 5 times we got beaten. Do you realize what that entailed? His arms, his hands were tied to a post. His shirt or his garment was ripped off his back. And they beat him with a whip. 39 lashes. Because the Jews says it's got to be, they made it 39 because they didn't want to break the law. Because if they went over 40, they'd be in trouble. God would be mad at them. Isn't religious awful? Religion awful? Yeah, make sure, guys, make sure we don't break the law. 5 times the man was beaten. I get a kick out of these. I was telling someone this morning, athletes, like, oh, you know, when I was growing up, they always make like the Christians are like the, you know, we're so weak and we're, you know, Christians are, you know how they just. To be a Christian is not for sissies or the faint of heart. If I think of some of these, I used to be an athlete, a jock when I was younger. When I think of some of these athletes now. One beating, one 39-time lash, that be it. Say, okay, we're going to play football. Okay, here's how we do it. We're going to tie your arms up against this post here. We're going to beat you 39 times. And then you can tell us if you want to be the quarterback, or you want to be the quarterback, or you just want to be the water boy. About halfway through, they all would throw it and say, forget it, I ain't playing no football. But that's what Christians endure. We're not sissies. We're the strongest group of people on the planet Earth. We turn our cheek when we like to kick you upside the head because it's God's will. We humble ourselves when we like to shoot you right between the eyes because we humble ourselves to a God that loves you and doesn't want us to retaliate and hurt you. That's why we do it. I'm from the Midwest, and I often thought, boy, if I ever backslid, I sure got a list. And then some people better hope I never do. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Remember the time he was stoned to the point that he said he's dead? He probably was dead. Think about that. Being stoned to the point. Left on the ground. Dead. I believe he was dead. And God just said, okay, you know, it's the least I can do. Come alive, Paul. Think about that. And I was saying, I was kind of using kind of a funny thing this morning, like, we are the biggest group of wusses now. You know, it's almost like I got up this morning and my paper was missing, and oh my gosh, I went to make coffee, and oh, I went to the refrigerator, there's no half and half. Oh my gosh. Then I went to get on my phone, and the internet was out. Pastor, could you call some for a prayer circle? The devil's just tearing me up. I need some help over here. That's how we think of hard times. Think about the man of God. The price he was willing to pay. And you and I are sitting here this morning because of the price he paid. I believe that with all my heart. We're reading this book. Thousands upon thousands upon hundreds of thousands have read and studied this book because of the man that paid the price that it might be written. And he wrote it with the blood of Jesus Christ in his heart and in his mind and in his spirit. He did it with gladness and joy. He says, whenever I'm weak, I'm strong. I'm strong because of Jesus Christ. I don't do this for any other reason. I do it for the glory and honor of my Savior. That's why I endure it. And how? When we see Paul, let me finish here. I'm going to finish in less than 5 minutes or thereabouts. In journeyings often. I love the part. A night and a day in the sea. In perils of robbers. I mean, you went traveling in those days. You didn't know if he's going to make it 3 blocks without being robbed, stabbed, thrown in the bushes. In perils by my own countrymen. As I shared this morning, is there any worse pain than being hurt by a Christian? It lasts a lifetime. Lasts a lifetime. And can I tell you something? Most pastors have more hurts from Christians than you can imagine. When they shepherd, taking care of sheep, get bit and kicked in the face by that sheep, it hurts like you wouldn't believe. And it lasts a lifetime. Paul was saved by my countrymen, my own people. In perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings. Boy, I tell you, if we need to start fasting is now and then. In fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And besides those things, we can't even imagine what this man went through by the that are without, that which is cometh on me daily, the care of the churches. Talking about being a presbyter. Oh my goodness. Could we take encouragement from Paul? I find this so encouraging. That Paul endured all this through the power of the Holy Spirit. In spite of what we see happening around us, and persecution is at our doorstep, in spite of all we see around us, the hatred for God, the hatred for His Word, hatred for goodness, the power of the Holy Spirit is more than capable of getting us to the other side. God in us can work and do anything. That's why that scripture says in Chronicles 7:14, 2 Chronicles, that in confidence God says He can do it because He knows, or will do it. He knows that if the people of God will pay the price, there's a price to pay. If we pay the price and let God be God in us, things will change. And they will change no other way. And I leave with this final thought. Don't let one of us sitting here saying, I can't do it. I'm too old. I'm too this. I'm too that. I don't. Paul immediately went out and started preaching the gospel almost immediately. All of us, we are kings and priests and queens to the living God. No one has an excuse. I was sharing I'll use this as a final example. I was sharing how a 93-year-old lady that I used to pray with every Sunday encouraged me more than probably any pastor or teacher or preacher around. Because she got a holy God, and I believed it. She was praying to a God that she believed in. But she cried out. You wanted to cry out. When she repented for this country, you wanted to repent for this country. God in us and God through us, we can do it. We have got to make up our mind. Say, God, shake me. Do whatever you got to do. What would you have me to do? And let God do it. Our lives depend upon it. The church depends upon it. Your unsaved loved ones, your unsaved children, your unsaved grandchildren, your unsaved neighbors or husbands, aunts, uncles, depend on us. It's that important. If God is for us, who can be against us? It's God in us that's going to make the difference. Paul was not full of Paul. Paul was full of Jesus Christ. Paul said, there's nothing you can't beat it out of me. What shall separate me from the love of God? He proved what it is. Nothing. If you would agree with me, I'm going to pray as I stood this morning for myself. As I pray a general prayer for us, if you're in agreement with me, that you're responding, God, what would you have me to do? Let's quit pointing fingers. Let's quit complaining. We all have a good habit of doing that. That doesn't work. It doesn't help. It even depresses us. Let's go to the living God. Say, God, unless you help us, unless you move, it's over. I'm not as concerned so much about the country as I am the church. When the church is over, there's nothing left. So if you're in agreement with me that you want God to hear, that your cry this morning is, God, what shall I do? That he'll begin to speak to you. And you don't count yourself out. Don't count yourself out. It's God in you that's going to do the work. I don't want to hear any excuses. There's no excuse. My 93-year-old prayer partner, if she wouldn't have died, we'd still be praying. No excuses. She got dressed every Sunday and drove herself to church to pray. No excuses. How are you feeling? Well, I'm okay. When she first got cancer, we never knew it. Are you doing? I'm doing okay. Coming to church and praying. No excuses. No, it looks like it might rain. I can't go tonight. Let's stop this goofiness. Let God be God in our lives. So if that's your cry, Warren, I agree with you. I'm praying that for me. I've got to do more and more and more. I've got to be everything God wants me to be. I have to. But God wants you to do the same. All of us together. We are the body of Christ. We are not the arm of Christ. We are the body of Christ. So I pray with you and agree with me that God will show us what he wants us to do. Father, we thank you for this day, for this hour. We thank you for Paul. Father, what an inspiration. How could anybody look at his life? What he endured for the gospel. The price he paid to glorify your name. Who are we to make excuses? God, we pray your deepest, richest blessing on each one of us. You said you've given gifts and callings to all of us. I pray that every man and woman, myself included, would be so full of your Holy Spirit that we would be walking in the supernatural power that Paul walked in. That we might accomplish great things And that, Father, we're not idly going to sit and watch our country go down the tubes. We are not idly going, as most of all, we are not idly going to sit and watch your church become the laughingstock of this nation, to be non-essentials. God, we pray you raise up a people with power and might and strength. God, giant slayers in this hour. God, we pray that your name, the name of Jesus Christ, would be exalted and lifted up. That God, true holiness, would come back to your church. That your people would begin to pray. We would begin to pray. That you put a hunger and a thirst in us that we've never known before. By the anointing of your Holy Spirit, we acknowledge without you we can do nothing, but through you we can do all things. God, anoint us. Anoint us with love and mercy. Anoint us with kindness. God, anoint us with the desire to please you and serve you with all our heart. We ask these things in the most holy and precious name.